Well, we've had a full morning so far. Let's see what else the Lord has in store for us. So today, I'm going to teach on warring by faith. Warring by faith. And it will be part one of two. We'll do part two on a Sunday morning before this month is over. Warring by faith. Now, this is geared towards believers, so the warring is spiritual warfare. So to call it warring by faith is a little bit of an oxymoronism. It's like a jumbo shrimp, because the only warring that Christians can do is by faith. But I want to drive home a point here, which is that we know a lot about faith, and we know a lot about warring, but in this series, I want to put together all the warring aspects of faith that I can think of to hone our fighting so we can fight the good fight of faith. Now, we're all at different levels in our walk with the Lord and in our knowledge. So understand that wherever you are as a believer, all the promises of God are available to you wherever you are as a believer if you take a step towards God. James chapter 4, verse 8. You take a step towards God, God takes a step towards you. In other words, you draw close to God, God draws close to you. Whatever you know, wherever you are, you pray, you act in faith, and the promise that you need is available to you there. So remember, all the promises of God already belongs to you. And God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Wherever you are in your walk towards God, towards being more Christ-like, towards being part of the church without spot or wrinkle, you take a step towards God, and it will loose into your life that day, the grace and the blessings you need to get through that day. For God allows no person to be tempted beyond that which they're able. But whatever temptation, there is a way out. And the way out is the Word, and is drawing closer to God by taking a step towards God. Within the last year, I got called by a multimillionaire. He owns many hotels. I don't mean, you know, like motels. I mean hotels. And he said, my doctor had this bad thing to say about me. And I remembered that you've gotten people healed. Could you help me? So I said, sure. So I gave him some things to do. He went away, did them. He got healed. He called me back, said, the doctor's amazed. I've got my healing. I'm so excited. So I said, okay. Now, you might want to think about starting our healing school. And he said, fine. Next thing I know, I got a nice check in the mail from him. So I called him up and I thanked him. I said, you know, I want you to understand the process here. Is you don't know much about God. I led him to the Lord 20 years ago. And this was the first fruit I'm seeing. I mean, his coming to me, I don't mean the money. His coming to me was the first fruit I'd seen since I led him to the Lord. But he remembered. So I said, here's the process. Is you had a challenge, you took a step towards God by calling me. God took a step towards you by telling you what to do through me. You took a step towards God by doing it. I took a step towards God by telling you about healing school. You took a step towards God by sending me a check. Then I said something to him that was godly, and I said, no, the next step is yours. You got to start healing school. It's all step by step. He took one step towards God. He called me. God told him what to do. He did it, and he got his healing. That's simple. All his money couldn't get him healed, but God got him healed. Now, what would be nice if he sent me a letter saying, this entitles you to stay at my hotel, any of my hotels, as long as you want, until Jesus returns. So that would be nice. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just in case you're online, I'm just kidding. Well, today we're talking about warring by faith. Warring by faith. And I want to talk about the prayer of faith and the warring aspects of that. I want to talk about not walking by physical sight. And I want to talk about the enemies of your faith. And this is part one. So, the prayer of faith. Some of you may have heard it. It's sometimes called, what is it sometimes called? It's sometimes called petition prayer. And where is it found? Mark 11:24. Okay. Which happens to be my favorite scripture. That scripture is the reason why I believe the Bible is the Word of God. That scripture is the reason why I'm standing here today. That reason is the reason why you're all listening to me today, because of Mark 11:24. Now, wow, look, there it is right there, Mark 11:24. I don't even have to say it from memory. I can read it. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Note it says, whatever you desire, present tense, when you pray, present tense, believe that you receive, present tense, all present. Then you shall have them. Why do we have the present, and then the future? Because faith is believing that when you pray, God answers your prayer at the point in time when you pray. Now, if you believe that you have received, believe in the present you've received, it will show up, but the time in between your believing and saying amen to the prayer and the time the physical manifestation shows up in the physical realm, that's a time of standing in faith, which is another way of saying time of spiritual warfare. For Jesus said, I've come, in John 10:10, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. In the Message Bible, it says, I've come that you might have life better than you have ever imagined. So if you are not having life today better than you have ever imagined, it's because the devil is stealing, killing, and destroying God's blessings and God's promises and blocking God's grace from manifesting in your life. The Bible is very simple. It's like a computer. It's binary. Two sides. Zero ones. One is God. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. Choose life or choose death. How simple can that be? Choose blessing or curses. How simple is that? How do you choose it? Choose your tongue. Death and life from the power of your tongue. So you choose with your tongue. And just in case you're not as swift as the rest of us are, God gives us the answer. It's an open book exam, and he tells you the answer right there. He says, choose life, that you and your offspring may be blessed. It is that simple. Because whatever you desire, when you pray, you believe that you receive them, they shall come. But the devil is here to block it, steal the promise, steal the faith out of your heart. Steal a manifestation. Steal the healing. Steal the prosperity. But whatever is coming to you, whatever belongs to you, the devil's job is to steal it, kill your hopes, and destroy you and everything that you've been called to do for God. It's that simple. Well, how do we go from believing we receive to the manifestation? It's called standing in faith. It's called spiritual warfare. It's called using the list of 10 items we give out here at ABC called 10 steps, 10 secondary methods of prayer. And when we are focused on healing, which quite often we use healing as the example, it's 10 secondary methods of healing. Now, we are predestined to be successful. God has given us all the tools that we are overcomers. We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. And the Word of God, you and the Word of God can change anything. And the angels are wait to hear you speak the Word of God. It's all up to you. And what you do during that time. For Luke 10:19 says, Jesus says, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." That is all of the evil in the world. "And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." So if you're standing in faith for your healing, and what's blocking the manifestation of that healing is the devil and his cohorts, and you have power over them, then why don't we exercise that power so that nothing can harm you? The Bible is extremely logical. All the parts come back together and tie together. And it's said in many, many different ways, all saying the same thing. We are destined to be super conquerors. We're destined to be the church without spot or wrinkle. Whether or not we make it depends on what we choose to do with our lives and what we choose to do with our words. We have the power over the enemy. So why do so many people walk in sickness and disease and infirmity and poverty? They have the power over the enemy. Well, as you all know here at ABC, most people have no clue how to pray Mark 11:24 as starters. But even those who prayed, between the amen and the there is a manifestation, they cancel their prayers with their words. And they give in to the enemies of faith in different ways, so they cancel their prayers. And instead of using the power they have over the enemy, who is a defeated enemy, they let the enemy tread all over them. And the way they do it, the way the enemy has been defeated. He has no power. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, Satan is the god of this world. But he's a defeated god. And he's only godlike in our lives when we let him. Because he has no power. For him to impact you and me, he needs to take our power and deceive us into partnering with him by letting him use our power against us. That's why he's a legalist. He listens, he knows the word, and he listens for when you violate the word. Satan, I'm sure, knows more of the word of God and knows it better than most believers. Hey, maybe all believers, except those who are in heaven. Because we have power over him, and if we exercise that power, he has to go. But how he deceives us is he uses the power in our tongue. Because life and death are in the power of our tongue. Proverbs chapter 4, 22-23 says that the word of God is health and medicine to your flesh. The word of God is medicine to your flesh. But guard your heart with all diligence. Guard means there's a problem. There's an enemy. There's something you should watch against. Guard your heart. How do you guard a place? You put an army around it. You put something around it. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows all the issues of life. The health, the healing, the power of God flows from your heart. From your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it flows out through your mouth. Through your tongue. Because life and death are in the power of your tongue. And your tongue guides your life the way a rudder guides a ship. And so the devil, in order to win his spiritual warfare between the amen, I believe I receive, and the manifestation, he uses the power of your tongue against yourself. And how does he do that? Mark 11:23. "For whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things he says shall come to pass, she shall have whatsoever he says." You will have whatsoever you say if you don't doubt in your heart. You will have whatsoever you say if you don't doubt in your heart. You'll have whatsoever you say if you don't doubt in your heart. Why don't you say after me, everybody, please, as a step of unity. I know some of you speaking the word of God might be really hard, but there's always a first time. That's supposed to be funny, folks. So say after me. In the name of Jesus, I have whatever I say.
If I don't doubt in my heart.
Thank you. No, here's the problem. Here's what the devil uses against you. Whatever you say that you don't doubt in your heart will come to pass. So all the devil has to get you to say is something that you don't doubt in your heart that partners with him, that authorizes him, that moves you towards the goal of stealing, blocking, killing, and destroying your manifestation. And is that hard? Piece of cake for most people. Why? Because by the time you were 6 years old, psychologists tell us 65% of everything you believe in your heart was already in place. By the time you're 18, about 80% was in place. Nobody listening to me, because you all have common sense because you're listening to me. I can tell that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to me. Where's the laugh there? I mean, I need some more laughter. Boy, I need a sign that says applause. Or at least smile greatly. Listen. None of us here, if you had a Ferrari, would let the 18-year-old kid drive it. Am I right? Would you go away for a year and let the 18-year-old kid take care of your house? One that you don't know? Maybe your son or your daughter who is a, you know, responsible 18-year-old. But an arbitrary 18-year-old from the lost generations? We wouldn't let a 6-year-old child manage your bank account. We wouldn't let an 18-year-old child handle the most precious things we have. But we do it every time we speak out of the core value system of our heart. And while we're standing in faith, we pray, we believe, we receive. All we got to do is keep standing in faith, keep believing that we have received until we see the manifestation. And the devil comes along and gets you to say things out of your heart that you believe it in your heart and you say it. Like, you're standing in faith for 27 and a half years. And during that time, you've been very good and you've done 10 affirmations a year. So you've done 270 affirmations in 27 years. And the phone rings after 27 and a half years. And your beloved friend says, haven't spoken to you in 27 and a half years. How are you? And the person says, man, I am just sick. Because in their heart, they believe they're sick. People believe they are sick because the devil is lying to them about their body. People are very strange creatures. You know, you could be having, a person could be having a terrible day. They might have committed a bunch of sins. Things are falling apart. People might say to them that day, what kind of a Christian are you to do that? That person might say, you said what to me? Are you sure you're saved? And somebody might have insulted you and you turned the other cheek, but you made a mistake. You turned their cheek by slapping them real hard. Right? All this in one day. And at the end of the day, when you're going to bed, the devil says, you know, you're not really saved. Look at all the things you did today. You know Christians won't believe that? Oh, no. I'm born again. I invite Jesus in my heart. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. I'm not saved by works. Yeah, I committed a lot of sins today. But I'm going to heaven, not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. We have the faith to believe that for our salvation. But our salvation includes our salvation package, which includes healing. So why do we give in to what the devil is saying? Oh, there's a pain in your foot. and your nose is itching and your back is red and you probably have, I don't know if it's all those syndromes, but West Nile Blue Mania, okay? And you say, yes, yes, I read it. Those are all the symptoms. The person says, yes, that must be true that the person is sick. Why don't you look at the devil and says, hey, my health does not depend on what I do, does not depend on what's happening to me. It depends on what Jesus did. For the same sacrifice on the cross that purchased your salvation also purchased your healing. But when symptoms come to people's bodies, to our bodies, people want to believe what the body is saying and not what the Word of God is saying. But when symptoms come against their salvation, they choose to believe what the Bible says. I'm going to heaven. Even to the point of martyrdom. Christians who don't know much about the Scriptures, they refuse to reject Jesus because they know the Bible is true and they're going to heaven and they cannot reject Jesus. So they choose martyrdom. But I bet you many, if not most of those martyrs have given in to thought and beliefs that they're sick before the martyrdom. How can that be? It's one package deal. He didn't die for your salvation and then a few days later died for your healing. It's the same process, the same salvation. And that's why the devil can use your power against you, the arbitrary person, power against them. Because in their heart, they truly believe they're sick. They truly believe because the devil says there are symptoms in your body, you're sick. No, if the devil hits their thoughts with a bunch of sins, you don't like that political candidate, why don't you go shoot him? And you don't like the teacher at school, why don't you embarrass them by streaking across the ground naked? And you don't like your next door neighbor, why don't you loose your dogs in his yard? And I know all these thoughts run across your mind. I'm trying to pick ones that I don't think any of you would do, okay? So if I hit one that's your favorite, it's not a word of knowledge, okay? I'm trying to avoid it. See, there is a certain range of things we tend to accept because we've been brainwashed from our childhood. And there's a certain range that we won't accept because we've been brainwashed since our childhood. Because those things were put in our heart by the time we were 6 years old. So from your 6 years old, most of us grew up in a house which is, it is not proper to go streaking through the living room when your parents are entertaining guests. Streaking through the living room without clothes on. In fact, streaking through the living room, my house, I couldn't streak through the room, period. Clothes on or clothes if there were guests in there. And the thought of running through the house with no clothes on, I think when I got my second pair of diapers, that thought went away. Most of us would never think of being a streaker. Most of us would never think of killing somebody. No, I'm not saying the thought didn't come to your mind and you flirted with it for a few seconds. But I mean, to really dwell, let it dwell. As soon as we realize, we get rid of it. We get rid of, in general, all temptations to sin. Because as a believer, with the heart you have, there's no place in your heart for most temptations. So we get rid of them. And we have a code of conduct, a code of behavior put in place since we were 6 years old. And it's hard for the devil to get us to violate that. You see all these people who are killing people arbitrarily and terrorists? Go look at what coal gets put in their heart when they're 6 years old. And you see the family life they had and the abuse and the brainwashing they had that would bring them up to be a jihadist. Am I making sense? No, we don't have those kind of temptations. No, what we have is this. Your success comes from learning, go to school. You go to school and you learn. You learn how to buy insurance. You learn how to go to hospitals. You learn what the system has to provide. And we've been brainwashed to live by the system. And we've been brainwashed to believe that we have to be sick and diseased. It's not a question, will you get sick? It's a question, when you get sick, do you know how to find the hospital? And do you have the insurance to cover it? So work hard so you can afford the insurance. That's all brainwashing. That started to go into place since you're 6 years old. Until you were 18. It still continues beyond that. But the majority is up until you're 18. You grew up thinking, getting a job with a good company, doing what I want, that's the goal of life. That's the goal to go to hell. The goal of life is to serve Jesus Christ. And many of us who had that goal, by the grace of God, we got saved. And so, okay, now the goal is we're Christians, we're going to go to heaven. But in the meantime, we are still brainwashed with the various parts of that. You can't serve God and mammon. So the devil reaches into your heart for the stuff that's been planted there since you were a kid, which is everybody gets sick. You know, they say nothing. What's the expression, Ben Franklin's famous wrong expression? Yeah, nothing is certain but death and taxes. Well, they could have added there sickness and disease. Because death comes from sickness, disease, and accident. It's the same bag of tricks. Well, he's wrong on both of them. Nothing is certain but death and taxes. He's a wonderful man of God. Don't misunderstand me. But boy, he sure stuck his foot in his mouth when he said that. Nothing is certain but death and taxes. He's wrong on both count. The Bible says, behold, I tell you a mystery. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all die. So we grew up thinking death is certain. Sickness and disease is certain. And so we believe it in our heart. So when the devil comes with his symptoms, his question is not, do you believe you can get sick? No, his question is, here's a Chinese menu. What do you want? Today we have going today, two broken ribs, three damaged vertebrae, and a pain in your, whatever they call this thing here that simulates a heart attack. Okay? Well, the gallbladder does do that also, yeah, okay. Which one do you want? There's a pain in your chest. Take your pick. In the center of your body, there's a pain. You want to believe you got broken ribs or broken vertebrae or your gallbladder is acting up or your, there's a kind of a valve here. Whatever you call it. And you take your pick. He doesn't come and say, do you believe you can be sick? No, he comes and says, which sickness do you want? Because he has to deceive you to use your power against yourself. And boy, does he have a whole bunch of people ready to do that. The reason you're all so quiet is because you haven't heard part two. So part two, the reason you're all so quiet is because of an attitude adjustment that you all need to make. And part two is going to deal with the attitudes of warfare and some different perspectives. So, he uses Mark 11:23 against you. We all see Mark 11:23 as something wonderful. That I can speak to any mountain and it's gone. And the devil sees there's something wonderful. All I get to get this turkey to do is say something out of your heart that they believe and get them to speak it. And then I have the authority to make it true in your lives. Is that clear enough for everybody? So what is the biggest mistake any person can do to lose their healing? The words of their mouth. Why? Because death and life are in the power of your tongue. Because if you say something that you believe in your heart, whether or not you want it, it will come to pass. It authorizes the devil to bring it to pass. That's why we declare in the name of Jesus that God has made the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart pleasing to Him. We're not trying to change that depository of junk in our heart and put the Word of God in our heart, so when we speak, out of the abundance of the heart comes God's Word. And that's what's coming to pass. God's Word in our life. Pastor Sarah has a wonderful teaching called Framing Your Life with Your Words. Pastor Karen, use the frames. So we frame our lives, we create our lives by the words in our mouth. You know, whatever God says come to pass. Can you imagine if God said some of the things you and I say? Would that be horrible? Probably the world wouldn't last very long. Right? But we're children of the Most High God. He's our example. We want to say what He says. The more we say what He says, and the less we say stuff from the brainwashing of our heart, is the more God's blessings come into our lives, and the more God can release His power to us. Isn't that true? Isn't this all common sense? Anybody think this is not common sense? It's just common sense when you know the scriptures. So, let me recap part A. Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it when you pray, and then it will show up. But the devil will try to stop it by using the enemies of your faith and your tongue. He tried to get you, say, use Mark 11:23 against you. He tried to get you to say things out of the abundance of your heart, things in your heart that you believe, and you may have forgotten you believe it. He tried to get you to say it, to authorize him, so he can block the prayer or block the manifestation. So one of the best things we can do is not speak much. You talk to the great men and women of God and read about them, they don't talk much. You know, I just don't see God being the moderator in a talk show. Just can't see him doing that. So the prayer of faith, that's the warfare of Mark 11:24. But understand that the reason why you believe that you receive is because faith is in the now. Faith is in the now because God is in the now. We serve the great I am. He says, I am that I am. Moses tells Pharaoh, I am that I am. He is the great I am. He's not the great I'm going to be or the great I used to be. He's the great I am. And He's the God of faith. Therefore, if you're going to please God by faith, which of course it says you cannot, it is impossible to please God without faith. Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God without faith. God is in the now, so faith must be in the now. So the definition of faith is in Hebrews 11:1. And I must be very sad if there's anybody in here who doesn't know that. In this room, not necessarily on the internet. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Now faith is. Now. Your faith must be the now. Now, right now, you are the heel of the Lord. Now I'm going to be heel of the Lord. God is not going to heal you because you prayed. He paid for your healing on the cross, and you received it when you prayed. When you understood and you received it, that's when you were healed. That's when you are healed. You're healed when you pray. So when you pray, you believe you're healed. Why? Because it belongs to you. Because God is in the present, and faith is in the present. So your healing must be right now. Your healing is not downstream. Your healing is not 2,000 affirmations away. Everything you do, from you say amen until there is the manifestation, everything you do is warfare. Warfare has to do with the devil, not God. God's power has been released because he's a God of the now, and faith is now. Now faith is. I prayed, I believe, I received. Now it's done. I'm the healer of the Lord. Therefore, from that moment forward, every word you speak must match your prayers. Must be words, I have been healed. I have been healed. I'm the healer of the Lord. I'm the apple of God's eye. God sees me perfect through the blood of Jesus. I see me perfect through the blood of Jesus. Where in perfection is there sickness and disease? Now faith is. Let's read Hebrews 11:1 from the Amplified Classic. Now, again the word now is there. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. Your faith is the title deed. When you buy a house or a car, the title deed says it's yours. Faith is the title deed. Faith says what you prayed for, and we use healing as an example, but it may be a job, it may be a finances, whatever it is, your title deed. It may be being cleansed from demons. Whatever you pray for, faith is that title deed that tells you you've got it. But faith is now. So you must have it now. I got it now. Everything else is a lie of the enemy. You say, but this challenge has been in my body for 2 years. Yeah, for 2 years you've believed it, for 2 years you've accepted it. Right now, you know you've been healed. It may take a little while to get the devil to pull his hooks out of you. That's the part of spiritual warfare. That's the part between I believe that I've received and the manifestation. But your perspective in your mind and in your heart is I have been healed. God is the God of now. Faith is now, I have received my healing. From that point on, you see yourself healed, you speak as if you're healed, and you watch for the garbage in your heart that's going to come out and talk about being sick and cancel your prayers. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. You want to see the things you don't see. You want to see the things that haven't manifested yet in the natural. You want to see the things that belong to you. Look at your faith. Your faith is a title deed. You don't need to go see your car to know your car belongs to you. You open your pink slip and it says this car belongs to you. If you come home one day and there are a bunch of people in your house saying this is my house, you call the cops. And he said, here's my title deed. This is my house. You don't have to take them to the house to show them. You can go to the police station with your title deed. Here's my house. Here's the address. It's my house. I have the title deed. Your job is to get them out of my house. Well, your faith is your title deed to healing. And you're not only the title deed holder, you're also the police. Your job is to kick the intruders out of your house. Kick everything in your body that doesn't belong there out of there. Why? Because nothing of the enemy shall by any means hurt you. And God has given you power over all the enemy. And you have a right to cast out of your life anything you don't want there. So you don't have to go to the police station. Just go to your faith and say, faith? Faith says I've been healed by the strap of Jesus. The Bible says it right there. I believe it. Therefore, I have been healed. Get these intruders out. So the faith is the title deed. It's the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. See, that's part of the attitude change. We're not convinced it's real. At the rate I'm going, this may become a four-part series. We're not convinced it's real. How can people be willing to risk their lives based on the Bible saying you're born again and you're going to heaven and let people cut their heads off and burn them alive and not be willing to say to the devil, hey, I'm the healer of the Lord. Get out of my body. Sickness go, disease go, infirmity go, demons go. It's the same Bible. So faith is your title deed. It's the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real, faith perceiving as real fact, what is not revealed to the senses. We have two sets of facts. Fact says, the doctor says, here's a report that says you've got cancer. It's a piece of paper written by man based on some tests, which may or may not be correct, and says you've got cancer. Here's the Bible saying you've been healed by the strap of Jesus. They're both facts. Which one are real facts? Well, it depends on where you want to live. The Bible says faith perceives as real facts that you've been healed by the strap of Jesus. Your senses don't see it because your senses always follow along. Your body's like a dog. It follows along what the rest of you is doing. What your heart and your mind are doing, the body will follow along. But you got to perceive it as a real fact. But we've been brainwashed since we were babies to look at what you see with your eyes as a real fact. You say, but the real fact is that I have cancer. No. The real fact is the devil is telling you have cancer, and the real fact is there's a piece of paper saying you have cancer. That's what you think are the real facts. But the Bible says the real facts are what your faith tells you. You perceive as real facts what your faith tells you. Now the question is, what does your faith tell you? See, it depends. You don't have an option. You are a person of faith. The question is, are you going to have faith in God, faith in the devil, or faith in science? That's the choice. And faith in science is part of faith in the devil. You get on a plane and fly. When is the last time you checked to make sure the plane had enough gas? You have the faith to believe that the people who are going to fly the plane made sure there was enough gas. Okay. So the question is, what are you going to perceive as real facts? And the Bible is saying, your faith tells you what the real facts are. Whose report shall I believe? But your upbringing and training is that you perceive real facts as that which your eyes see. And when people are blind, they perceive real facts by why their fingers fail. Even though most of you know that the senses are easily deceived. Don't you all know that? We've done examples here using pictures, perceptual challenges. We've got psychologists here who can tell you that. The senses are easily deceived. But somehow we can accept that the senses can be easily deceived by photographs and pictures and various things when it comes to non-healing. But when it comes to health, somehow we just got been brainwashed since we were a kid that the doctors are one step below God most of them. Some of them are one step above. All right, right? And doctors can't be wrong, and you got to respect the doctors. And boy, even though they're still practicing, you got to pay attention to what they're saying. God is not practicing, you know. God is perfect. He doesn't practice. He's perfect. Your faith perceives as real facts that which is not yet really revealed to your senses. But in whom are you going to have faith? Are you going to have faith in the Word of God perceiving as real facts that you've been healed by the straps of Jesus until your senses catch up with you? Are you going to perceive as real fact that cancer will kill a person if the doctors don't do something about it? Well, which one you perceive as a real fact depends on what's in your core value of your heart. And if your life has been built around doctors, medicines, hospitals, and 911 since you were born, which is true for most of us, that is your real fact. If you think everybody has to get sick sometime or another, the people have been waiting for me to get sick for 30 years, maybe 35 years. I kid you not. Some of them who are waiting for me to get sick have passed on because they got older. They got a long wait. But you see, the truth of it is not revealed by the fact that I can stand here in front of you and tell you 42 years without doctors, drugs, medicine, hospitals. That's not the truth of it. That's almost irrelevant. The truth of it is the Bible tells you Jesus took all his sins in the body on the tree that you being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Are we living unto righteousness? Are we living unto what we've been trained to do since we were born? Are we living for Jesus Christ? Are we living to have fun and a couple of hours a week we spend it with Jesus? That you and I should live unto righteousness. And oh, by the way, by whose stripes you were healed? By whose stripes you were healed. Six words in a very long verse. At the end. The real fact is we need to take all the disgusting, sinful, ungodly stuff in our heart and replace them with love and forgiveness and faith. We need to replace them with the Word of God so they're engrafted into our heart. For the engrafted Word in your heart, James 1:21, the engrafted Word in your heart sets your soul free. And as your soul is set free, your health and your finances prosper. That is the Word of God. That is the cycle of change, the end of the cycle of change. Cycle of change is you renew your mind to the Word of God. So you get rid of all the garbage out of your mind so you know when you're thinking sin. So you know what temptations are. If your mind is not renewed to the Word of God, you don't know any of that stuff. And once your mind starts to become renewed to the Word of God, we act on it to put it in our heart, to drive all the garbage out of our heart. So faith is the conviction of the reality of what we hope for. Faith perceiving as real that which is not revealed to the senses. No. So we have faith and we believe we have it. And we are convinced we have faith, we are people of faith, and we're going to stand in faith, and we pray, we believe, we receive, we're standing in faith. And we stand in faith for 5 minutes, and we say, God, what happened? I haven't seen the manifestation yet. Right? Because we also need patience. Because it's faith with patience, you inherit the promise. Faith and patience are the power twins. Faith and patience will change anything. The power twins. Hebrews 6:12. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, spiritually lazy, but be imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, here is the amplified definition of faith. Faith, the leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and guidance. That's a good definition of faith. Faith is the leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. I prayed, I believe I received. No, I'm going to lean on God in absolute trust and confidence. No, I think I would like to give an ABC step to this. Faith is the leaning of the entire personality, of your entire heart, soul, mind, body, words and works on God. It's your entire being. Personality just captures a part of that. Faith is leaning on God with all that you are and all that you have. That's faith, not just the personality. Faith is the leaning on God of your entire being, including your personality, your heart, your soul, your mind, your brain, your body, your wealth. When you lean on God with everything, that means if God lets you down, it's all gone. And most people don't want to make that commitment. They want a plan B. If God lets me down, at least let me keep the money in my checking account. Behave as do those who through faith and by practice of patient endurance and waiting are inheriting the promises. So, faith with patience, you inherit the promise. We believe that we have received the promise of God, the word of God, whatever is promised, when we pray. To inherit that manifestation, we need to lean on God with everything during the time of spiritual warfare. We continue at all times from the moment we believe we receive until we see the manifestation, we believe every moment in the present tense that it's a done deal. It's a done deal. I am the healer, Lord. I am the healer of the Lord. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am the healer of the Lord. Not, I'm going to be the healer of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, my checking account is full of money. God supplies all my need. In the present, God supplies all my need. Jesus, though he was rich, for your sake became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Jesus died for me to be rich. Therefore, all my needs are met. Not going to be met, they're met. Because I'm perceiving as reality what the Word of God says. I perceive my needs have been met. I perceive I've been healed because my faith is giving a reality to the Word of God. And the reality of the facts that come from the devil, that physical reality will be replaced by the spiritual reality. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Your job is to stand in faith and perceive as real fact the spiritual blessings. And as you believe it, speak it, and do it, as you keep acting as a servant of the great I am, it will come into the physical manifestation and replace the so-called physical medical facts or financial facts. And you do that in the present tense, that you're always the healer of the Lord. You have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, which makes you the healer of the Lord right now. You're the healer of the Lord right now because you serve the great I am, and faith is now. The price was paid in the past. I have been healed in the past, and because I've been healed, I am healed. I am the healer of the Lord right now. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's a done deal. I believe it, which means if I have been healed, I am healed now. My needs have been met by Jesus Christ. Therefore, right now, I see my needs met. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. No matter what the challenges you have, Jesus is the way. If you perceive the fact that Jesus is your way out, if you perceive that by your faith as a reality, then the reality of perceiving that will change all the circumstantial facts. It will change it to line up to the scriptures in your life. And Jesus is the life. He is the life. He's your Savior. He lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. Life lives in you. So what is this talk about death? Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you and pumps life into your mortal flesh. And the life of God drives out sickness, disease, and infirmity, and death. And every time you receive communion, you're drinking the blood of Jesus. And the life is in the blood. And the communion blood, life in that blood, drives out all sickness, disease, and infirmity. Perceive that as a reality in your heart. And you stop thinking of yourself as sick, waiting to get healed. You see yourself as a healer of the Lord, driving out these intruders, because you have the title deed to your home, to your body, and to all the blessings. So that's the end of part one. So we may go on to part six or part seven. I don't know. Okay? So part one, we got rid of, got through A1 and A2. So this could be a long series. Okay? We can tell how long the series is going to be by how quiet the people are. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.